Drawn to Jesus is the name of this series. Last week we looked at the first apostles who were drawn to Jesus, two sets of brothers who were fishermen by trade, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, and John and James, the sons of Zebedee. We learned that they were drawn to Jesus through other people, which is the typical way people are drawn to Jesus. And we also learned that they were changed by Jesus for the sake of others. Today we're going to look at two more apostles. Their names are Philip and Nathanael. Our text is John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. I invite you to open your Bibles to that passage. And if you're able, I ask you to stand for the reading. We stand in honor of God, for we recognize that this is His holy, inspired word to us. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Let's pray together. Father God Almighty, as you worked in the hearts of Philip and Nathanael long ago, we pray that you would work in our hearts this day through this, your word recorded for us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm calling my first point this morning, what we know about Philip and Nathanael. This text doesn't tell us a lot about them, but what this text does reveal is very helpful. I'm going to list details under this heading. Some of the details are sure details, as some of them are possible details. I'll start with two sure details. One sure detail concerns Nathanael, namely, Nathanael is also called Bartholomew. The name Bartholomew is used in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It is his a surname, what we would call a last name. The word Bartholomew means son of Tolmai. The name Nathanael is a first name, and it is only used in the Gospel of John. Now, why did John use his first name and the other Gospel writers his last name? We don't know. But it is clear they are the same person because in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we never meet a Nathanael who became an apostle, but in the Gospel of John we do. And vice versa, in the Gospel of John, we never meet a Bartholomew who became an apostle, but in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we do. That, along with some other reasons, make it extremely clear Nathanael is also called Bartholomew. A second sure detail concerns Philip. Namely, Philip grew up in the same city as Andrew and Peter. We're told this in verse 44. That verse says, "Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter." Bethsaida means house of fish. It was a city that thrived on fishing, which fits what we learned last week about Andrew and Simon Peter. Namely, they were fishermen. Now, one has to wonder, why did John include this detail about Philip. Now, why tell us he was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter? Well, the answer that makes the most sense is that he included this detail to help us understand this event that we are looking at. The detail that he was from the same city as Andrew and Peter leads us to other conclusions, some possible details. One very possible detail is that Philip knew Andrew and Peter. They may have been friends. And a second is that being from Bethsaida, the house of fish, is that it's very possible that Philip was a fisherman. And that, of course, may be the way that he knew Andrew and Peter and were friends with them. Look at the flow of chapter 1 with me. I'm going to put some select verses on the screen. First of all, John the Baptist tells his disciples, Andrew and John, Jesus is the Lamb of God. We see that in verses 35 and 36. They follow Jesus and learn from Jesus. And then in verses 40 and 41, we see Andrew get his brother Peter and tell him, hey, we have found the Messiah. The next thing we are told is that Jesus found Philip, who began to follow him. We're told that in verse 43. Notice that happened the very next day. When you read only that verse, it sounds like Jesus was alone when he went and found Philip. But when you read the rest of the passage, it's very possible that Jesus was not alone when he found Philip. Look at what we're told next in the flow. Verse 45 says, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we, and notice that plural, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus. You have to wonder when you read that verse, well, who is the we? Well, what makes the most sense is that the we is Andrew and Peter, maybe John as well. Jesus instigated finding Philip. That's what verse 43 says, but the context strongly suggests that Andrew and Peter and probably John as well were with Jesus. So again, it sounds like Philip knew Andrew and Peter. It's very possible Philip was a fisherman like Andrew and Peter. And when Jesus found Philip, it's very likely Andrew and Peter were there telling Philip, hey, Jesus is the Messiah. John the Baptist told us. So I'll add that to the list. It's very possible Andrew and Peter told Philip what John the Baptist had said. Now, another sure detail is that Philip told Nathanael about Jesus. We're told that in verse 45, just like Andrew wasted no time getting his brother Peter, Philip wasted no time getting Nathanael. And that leads us to another probable detail, namely, Philip and Nathanael were friends. That's the natural reading of this text. Why else did Philip go get Nathanael? And that conclusion leads to another possible detail, that Nathanael was also a fisherman who also knew Andrew and Peter. Remember, Philip said to Nathanael, we have found the Messiah. The we suggests Nathanael knew who the we were. It's likely they were all fishermen and that they all spoke to one another on a regular basis. It's very possible they were all interested in what John the Baptist had been teaching. We know as a sure fact that Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. It's very likely they were all very interested in what John the Baptist was teaching and that they were talking about it together. Concerning the conclusion they were all fishermen, I want to take you to John chapter 21. This is after Jesus' resurrection from the grave. This is when Jesus is revealing himself to his apostles. We read at the beginning of the chapter, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. Nathanael clearly went fishing with this group. We're told two others went as well. The two others were likely Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and Philip. They may have all known each other from their trade being fishermen before they met Jesus. Now, before I show another detail about Philip and Nathanael, I want to point out an application here, namely friendship, family evangelism, co-worker evangelism. Now, that's a great form of evangelism. Andrew told his brother Peter about Jesus. John mostly likely told his brother James. We talked about that last week. Philip told his friend and likely co-worker Nathanael about Jesus. Telling people who we are close to about Jesus is awesome evangelism. So, do you have a co-worker who you like to have lunch with, who needs to hear about Jesus? Do you have a neighbor you're friends with who needs to hear about Jesus? Do you have a family member who needs to hear about Jesus? Is there a person at your college, a fellow student, who needs to hear about Jesus? We should not neglect those relationships. We naturally tell friends and family members, co-workers, truth that's important to us, aspects of our lives that are important to us. And there's nothing more important than our relationship with Jesus. So don't neglect to tell the friends, family members, co-workers in your life about Jesus. Now, sometimes it's quickly accepted and positively responded to because God has prepared their hearts. And that's the case in our passage. For another sure detail about Philip and Nathanael is that they were waiting and watching for the Messiah. And they knew and believed the promises of the Old Testament. And for that reason, they were both ready to follow Jesus. Look at our passage again. Notice that Philip didn't hesitate. Jesus said, "Follow me." Philip followed him. And listen to what Philip tells Nathanael, quote, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote." Philip refers to all the Old Testament promises about the Messiah. Philip knew well the Old Testament. He loved the Word of God. He believed the Word of God. He was waiting and watching for the Word of God to be fulfilled. And he knew Nathanael was as well. That's clear not only from what Philip told Nathanael, but also from what Nathanael says about Nazareth. Look at the next verse. I'll add it to the screen. Verse 46 says, quote, "Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?'" There are two ways to understand that comment. One way to understand is to conclude Philip is criticizing Nazareth. And Nazareth was a small city in Galilee, a place where people did not have a lot of opportunities for advancement. Philip was also from Galilee, from Cana in Galilee. Some scholars think Philip's comment is based on rivalry between the two cities. They think Nathanael was saying that Nazareth, come on, what a laugh. No one good comes out of Nazareth. Now, that's one way to understand the comment. But another way to understand the comment is to conclude that Nathanael knew well the prophecies of the Old Testament. And he knew there was no prophecy involving a city in Galilee. Look with me at John chapter 7. Starting with verse 37, we read, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' Now this he said by the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. When they heard these words, some of the people said, 'This really is the prophet.' Others said, 'This is the Christ.' But some said, 'Is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was?'" Now, these people didn't know Jesus had been born in Bethlehem. All they knew is that he was the son of Joseph of Nazareth. And they knew there are no prophecies about Galilee. Well, we can understand Nathanael's comment the same way. "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" means, listen, there are no prophecies about Nazareth, about Galilee. And Nathanael may have included with his biblical statement some local rivalry. You know, no prophecies about Galilee, especially about Nazareth. The point I'm making is that we have good reason to conclude Philip and Nathanael were well grounded in the Scriptures, and they were both thinking about, longing for the Messiah. They were both excited to see God's promises fulfilled. The fact that Nathanael's heart was full of love for God and the Scriptures is clear from what Jesus says about him. Look at our text again. Jesus says something pretty amazing about Nathanael. Quote, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Now that's an extremely nice comment about Nathanael. Now think about how you would feel if Jesus met you and that's the first thing he says about you. Now, that would be very nice, to say the least. And Jesus wasn't saying Nathanael was sinless, but Jesus was saying Nathanael is not a hypocrite. Nathanael's love for God, his love for God's word, it's very genuine. Nathanael was sincerely waiting, watching for the Messiah. So is Philip. And we've already seen that characteristic in this series. A few weeks ago, we looked at Simeon and Anna and saw that they too are watching, waiting for the Messiah, excited for him to arrive, placing their hope in that coming day. And dear friends, that is wise living. That's how we should be living as well. That's the application I'm hoping you're learning from this series. We should be excited about the promise of Jesus' return. We should be living with the knowledge that that day will arrive. We don't know when that day will arrive, but it will arrive. It could be soon. And we should be excited about that day. We should be living with that day in view. It's part of being drawn close to Jesus. Philip and Nathanael had hearts ready to follow Jesus because they were excited about the promises, excited about Jesus' first advent. Those are some details we know about Philip and Nathanael, who had become part of the 12 apostles. This passage is helpful and interesting because of what we learn about them. But a far more interesting part of our text is what Jesus knew about Nathanael. That's my next overall point. What Jesus knew about Nathanael. This point should catch our eyes, our minds, our hearts. Look at verses 46 through 48 of our text. Since Nathanael knew the prophecies, knew there was nothing in the Old Testament about the Messiah coming from Galilee, he wasn't really impressed with Philip saying, "Listen, we've found the Messiah. He's Jesus of Nazareth." Nathanael wasn't impressed with that. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nathanael says. He's skeptical about Jesus. He's starting to push Jesus away before he even meets Jesus, before he knows Jesus, which is not wise. That's not wise. Philip says to the skeptical Nathanael, "Come and see. Come and see. Don't make an uninformed judgment about Jesus. Come and see, Nathanael. Come and learn from this Jesus. Come meet him." And I wish more people in the world today would follow that advice about Jesus. Now listen, come and see. Read his word. Read the prophecies. Know how he fulfilled the prophecies. Look at the eyewitness accounts about Jesus. Come and see what he's doing in the lives of people today. Come and see Jesus. Don't make this quick judgment about Jesus and just push him away. "Oh, no, he can't be anything." No, come and see. This is very wise advice. Thankfully, Nathanael followed that advice. He went with Philip to meet Jesus. The first thing Jesus says about Nathanael is, as I've already said, something extremely kind, very nice. "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Jesus is saying, now here is someone who truly understands what it means to be an Israelite, a A person who has a true covenant relationship with God. There is no hypocrisy in this man. This is a marvelous statement. But Nathanael's not sure what to make of this. Nathanael is now curious but cautious. Nathanael replies to Jesus, "How do you know me? How do you know me? How do you know I'm not a hypocrite?" Nathanael wasn't yet sure what to make of Jesus, this person from Galilee. And then Jesus utterly shocks Nathanael. In verse 48, we read, Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." With those words, Jesus is stating an intimate, private, personal detail about Nathanael. Something that was very special to Nathanael. Fig trees were common in the area because they provided both food and shade. And Nathanael must have experienced something very special under a fig tree. Maybe he had a special time of prayer under a fig tree. Maybe it was under a fig tree that he placed his hope in God. Maybe he had recently made a big decision while sitting under a fig tree. Maybe he had repented, turned his life around while sitting under a fig tree. We don't know. But Nathanael knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. Nathanael knew that Jesus had knowledge of something that was absolutely private that no one else knew. Jesus knew something Philip didn't know about Nathanael. Jesus knew something no other human being could have known about Nathanael. That's obvious from how Nathanael immediately responds to Jesus' statement. Look at the next verses with me. Starting with verse 49, we read, Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Instantly, Nathanael's doubts were gone. He calls Jesus the Son of God, the King of Israel. That's an awesome statement. Nathanael is calling Jesus divine, and he's calling Jesus the Messiah. He knew Jesus was not merely human because Jesus knew a secret, intimate, special detail about him no other human being could have known. Nathanael was absolutely amazed at Jesus' divine knowledge. What Jesus said next was also staggering. Verses 50 and 51 of our text, we read, Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Now, with those words, Jesus is referencing Jacob's vision from long ago. Do you remember Jacob's vision of the ladder? I'll read it to you. In Genesis 28, starting in verse 12, we read, "And he, Jacob, dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac." In Jesus' statement to Nathanael, he is referencing that historical event concerning Jacob. And Jesus is saying, Nathanael, I am the ladder. I am the one who will reconcile God with people, men and people. I'm going to reconcile. You will see that, Nathanael. You're going to see that. And Nathanael did. Nathanael saw Jesus die for our sins. Nathanael saw Jesus resurrected from the dead. Nathanael saw Jesus ascend on the clouds to be at the right hand of God. Nathanael would experience the day of Pentecost when the Spirit would fill all of them. Nathanael would come to fully understand that Jesus is the ladder that reconciles man and God. Nathanael would come to have a much deeper appreciation of what it means to say, Jesus, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. What Jesus knew about Nathanael impacted Nathanael. It convinced him of who Jesus is. It opened his heart to Jesus and prepared him to see even greater things about Jesus. And this was recorded for us. This word of God was recorded for us. So we too would see who Jesus is and become ready to see even greater things about him. Saying that leads to my last point this morning, which I'm calling what we should know about Jesus. Dear friends, the Apostle John, again, recorded this event that we might know without any doubt that Jesus is God and follow him. Look at how John begins his gospel. The first verse says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." John begins with that truth about Jesus and gives proof after proof of that truth. The testimony of John the Baptist that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that's proof. Andrew's testimony, we've found the Messiah, that's proof. Philip's testimony, we've found the Messiah, that's proof. And Jesus seeing Nathanael under the fig tree, and Nathanael right there and then following Jesus, that's proof. And dear friends, the rest of the Gospel of John goes on to give many other proofs. John is calling us to believe in Jesus. Look at what John says near the end of his Gospel, quote, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." That, dear friends, is the most important application today. Believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and have life in his name. When we read of how Andrew and John and Peter and Philip and Nathanael were drawn to Jesus, we too should be drawn to Jesus. We should repent of our sins and gladly follow him, knowing with absolute assurance that Jesus is God and that in him we are forgiven and we are going to live forever. And we should leave here with excitement, realizing that just like Jesus took some unknown fishermen and use them as his apostles, he can use us for his kingdom as well. He can use us to tell our friends, family, co-workers, the good news of Jesus. He can use us to support Modesto Pregnancy Center and save babies, declaring the gospel to parents caught in a crisis. He can use us to teach children the Bible during church school and children's worship and on Wednesday nights. He can use us to go on short-term mission trips to declare the gospel. He can use us to become full-time missionaries. He can use us to support full-time missionaries. He can use us to build a community of people who love Jesus passionately and serve others joyfully. All we have to do is bow our knee to Jesus, believing he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. If you have never done that, if you have never prayed, Jesus, I believe in you. I know I am a sinner. And I know that you came and lived and died for me, that I might be forgiven, that I might be cleansed, that I might be reconciled to you. I know that you are the one true living God, the only way to be saved, the promised Messiah. I trust in you as my Lord and my Savior. If you have never prayed that, I mean, you know if you've prayed that. Have you done so? Have you turned to Christ in that way? If you have never done that, do that today. This is the most important application. Turn to Jesus. You will not regret doing so. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God Almighty, we have learned today of your Son Jesus, one with you, God Almighty. We've seen his power, we've seen his complete knowledge, is the way he's omniscient, all-knowing. We've seen him speak to Nathanael. We've seen the Apostle John call us to believe in him. We've heard his words. Now we pray that your Spirit would work in our hearts. Just like you worked in the hearts of Philip and Nathanael, we pray that you would work in our hearts today. Father, I pray that each and every one of us would leave here trusting in Jesus, looking to him as our Savior, our Lord, knowing that he came, he is that Messiah, that he is one with you. Work in our hearts. Glorify yourself. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.